G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
All right, if you got your Bibles, have a look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. I'm going to be talking about matters of the heart, hey? It may be more than one part. I think it will. I think it'll probably be two or more parts to it. Matters of the heart. To do with character, Christian character. Yeah, I looked up in the dictionary this word character, and the Merriam-Webster said, one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish someone. It says, the complex of mental and ethical traits making or marking and often individualizing a person, group, or action. Seems pretty like a big mouthful. It was hard to sort of get my head around it. Moral excellence and firmness. Character. We're talking about character. What is it? Another dictionary said moral or ethical quality. The sum of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person. Let me give you my summary of what Christian character is. Christian character, in its simplest form, I believe, is the image of Christ manifesting in your life. The manifestation of the image of Christ. If you're born again, the image of Christ within you is fully formed, completely. You won't get any more of Jesus when you get to heaven. You've already got all of him. You won't get any more of his holiness, any more of his righteousness. You've got all of him. In fact, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. He is perfect, so are we in this world. Hands up if you're perfect. If you didn't put your hand up, you're calling God a liar. Because it says, as he is, so are we in this world. Is he perfect? So are we in this world. Is he undefeated? So are we in this world. Is he without sin? So are we in this world. Is he filled with all wisdom? So are we in this world. I know some of you are thinking and looking at that and going, well, you know, boy, you know, I don't know about that. Like, how can I say that I'm sinless? How can I say that I'm perfect? Don't be a meathead. We're talking about your spirit. When you became born again, your spirit became identical with Jesus' spirit. In fact, the Bible actually says, we are one with the Lord, one spirit with him. When you join to him, you're one spirit. So character is the manifestation of the image of Christ in you. You've got all of Christ in you, but how much of it is showing? How much of it is manifesting? For some Christians, there's not a lot. And certainly as you grow in your relationship with God, there should be more and more of the image of Christ showing in your life. If you can look at your life and you cannot point to certain things that are different now to what it was a year ago, you're not growing. And if I've hurt your feelings, tough. Maybe your feelings need to be hurt because we need to be growing. We're either growing or we're receding. Hey, you'll never stay the same. And so it's really important that we allow greater manifestation of the image of Christ that's within us. Hey, let me give you some examples of how the image of Christ manifests in our life. Some examples of Christian character. Honor. The way you treat people that reveals a certain sense of the image of Christ in you. That's an example of Christian character. Sacrifice. kindness, grace, faithfulness. These are all examples of Christian character. Hey, mercy, perseverance, humility, servanthood. And so there's lots of them. Hey, and God just put on my heart to be talking about some of these matters of the heart, to allow what's inside to begin to manifest outside. You might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but, oh, man, I was hoping you'd talk about healing. This is talking about healing. You might be thinking, well, I was hoping you'd talk about prosperity. Well, this is talking about prosperity. You will only get as much of these things in your life as much as you mature in God. What does 3 John verse 2 say? John, you can tell me. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The more you allow your soul to prosper, the more you'll manifest these things like honor, like mercy, like perseverance, like faithfulness. And the more you do that, the easier it is for the life of God that's already in you to flow out. The healing you need is there. It's already there. You're not trying to get God to give you anything. He's already given it. The finances you need is already there. Everything you need is already been deposited into your account. And these matters of the heart just put us in a position where we are cooperating with our spirit. Oh man, I could just talk so much just in this area in itself. This is why people fail to receive. The Bible calls it double-mindedness. Remember, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, but let him ask in faith without doubting. The word doubt is diakrino. It means to be divided in your mind. And it says, the one who doubts will be like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind and the waves. Let not that man expect that he'll receive anything. When you're doubting, you're divided in your mind. And it says, a double-minded man. Doubting is being double-minded. How are you double-minded? Because your spirit is saying you're healed, but your mind is saying, dude, you ain't healed. Can you feel that pain? Your spirit is saying, you got it. You got the finances you need. But your mind is saying, nah, man, you owe lots of money. And when they're not in agreement with you, your spirit has a mind. And when your mind and the mind of the spirit are not in agreement, you are double-minded and you will not receive anything from the Lord. I'm talking about matters of the heart, because as we allow these things to flow through and renew the way we think, we become single-minded in believing. So I want to talk particularly today about one that's a lot of these are really, like, you know, the ones that I read out, every one of them is great, you know, but I guess some of them sort of probably stir you up more than others, you know. For me, one of the honor, I love honor. I could talk about honor for weeks. But I'm going to talk today about integrity. Hey, it's a matter of the heart. It's the character of Christ that's already within you, but it's allowing that to flow out and manifest in your life. Hey, you know, the dictionary says integrity is firm adherence to a code of moral values or the quality or state of being undivided. Integrity, it comes from the word integral. Integral, from that is words like integer. Anybody remember maths, integers? Come on, Andrew, what's an integer? Oh, I've got him on the spot. A whole number. Yeah, an integer is a whole number. Integrity, integer come from the same root. When we say you have integrity, it means you're whole, undivided. The government used to make, I don't know if they still do, they used to make these Collins-class submarines in Adelaide. They used to sell them to other navies as well as, you know, for our own navy. And when they would complete building the vessel, they would take it on what they would call an integrity test. This thing is designed to go to a certain depth and is designed to go at a certain velocity or certain rate of knots. And so they will take it to the very edge of what it was designed to do, and they have all these sensors on every part of the vessel measuring its performance, measuring its ability to handle what it was designed to do. It's called an integrity test. And that integrity test reveals, is it whole or are there kinks? Do we need to fine-tune it? Is there something we've overlooked? And integrity is when you're whole. Are you at Proverbs chapter 10 yet? Proverbs 10 verse 9. Let's look at what the Bible says about integrity. It says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. The New Living Translation says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. The Bible in Basic English says of the same verse, he whose ways are upright will go safely, but he whose ways are twisted will be made low. So I want you to see this word integrity is being contrasted with perversion. Sometimes you can get an idea of something by looking at what it's contrasted with. For example, like you can contrast new with old and you get an idea. If you look at new and what you have is not new, by understanding what new is, you get an understanding, yeah, that's not new. Or small and large. You might think, I'm not sure how big that is. But then you contrast it with something that's large and you realize that's not large. Here this scripture says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. And so integrity is being contrasted with perversion. So if we understand what perversion is, we'll get an idea of what integrity is. And perversion means to distort, to twist, to misconstrue. So integrity means not twisted. It's not distorted. It's whole. A person with integrity, notice that in the New Living it says, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths. Perversion is being crooked. Integrity then, by contrast, is being straight. A person with integrity is a person that's not crooked, they're straight. They're straight in their talk. They're straight in their dealings with people. They're straight in their performance at work. They're straight in their interactions with financial institutions, with government departments. You know, I've heard of Christians that are anything but straight in their dealings with others, anything but straight in their dealings with Centrelink or dealings with the tax office. These things aren't right. If you're born again and the image of Christ is in you, how can you be twisted? To walk in integrity means you walk and you straight. That means what you say is what you mean. And you're not playing with words. Treating people properly. Have a look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 verse 1. Give me an oi when you're there. So Job chapter 1 verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. The New Living Translation of the same verse says, there was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and he stayed away from evil. So notice how the New Living Translation equates integrity with uprightness. The Message translation says, Job was a man who lived in Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word. Are you getting a picture of integrity? Integrity is when you're honest inside and out. When what's on the inside matches what's on the outside. And sad to say, for some believers, that's just not happening. There's a complete mismatch. What's on the outside does not reflect what's on the inside. You are holy. And yet some believers live as if they are not holy. You are righteous. And yet some believers live in unrighteousness. Integrity is being honest inside and out. And this is what it says about Job. That he was honest inside and out. When you see someone that their words and actions match up, then you're seeing someone with integrity. Too often that people will say one thing and then do something completely different. That is not integrity. That's twisted. That's perversion. And some believers have little correlation between what they do and what they say. Hey, they honor God with their lips, but that's about it. It's like it says in Isaiah. It says, these people say they are mine, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And they worship, their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. You don't want to be someone like that. That all you do is pay lip service to God. And yet there's a lot of believers that they know the lingo, they know the language. Hallelujah, praise God, God is good. But deep in their heart, I'm not talking about your spirit, I'm talking about your heart. There's a difference. Some people believe your heart and your spirit are one. No, that's not right. Otherwise, why would the scripture say you praise God with a whole heart? What does that mean? It means your heart sometimes can be divided. Your heart is a combination of your spirit and soul. And I could prove that to you from the scriptures, but that's not my purpose right this morning. And some people, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They think that Christianity is a game to play. This is not a game. This is not a dress rehearsal. You know, I don't know. This is just for me personally. You might not be like this. But when I hear of Christians who are living in any way other than being in integrity, I'm just aghast because I think like, man, what are you going to say to Jesus? Because you live as if he's not real. What are you going to say to him? Because some people, it's like they look the part. They know the lingo. They can act all the right ways. They can lift their hands and they sing with their voices, and yet their hearts are anything but towards the Lord. And I just sort of think like, man, because to me, this is real. Do you know why? Sometimes I say things that I know gets in your grill. And for some of you, it irritates you. And do you know why I say that? It's not because I want you to suffer. Number one, my number one reason is because I love you. And if I can see it in the Word, I will not back down. But number two, I got to answer to God one day for the call that he put on my life. I am not going to say like, oh, yeah, I should have said that, God, but I guess I didn't. I was just scared that I would lose some friends. But for some people, Christianity is just a game. You just play the game, and they know how to play it, hey? Oh. It says there that Job was honest inside and out and a man of his word. Integrity is when you are a person of your word. Your word needs to be your bond. Hey, I've shared on this a little bit over the last couple of months, but it seems to keep coming up, hey? Your word needs to be your bond. Jesus said, don't make oaths, don't make promises. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't stretch the truth. Don't embellish the truth. Some people feel as if, like, sometimes it's all right to tell a lie. It's just a white lie. Really? Show me that in the Bible. We're talking about healing and we're talking about prosperity. How can you possibly receive healing and prosperity if the words you say are so mixed? Because it's out of your mouth, hey, death and life come, is that right? You keep practicing saying things that you know are not true. You're practicing unbelief. A man of integrity is a man of his word. Your word is your bond. You know, with Micah and Joel, if they tell me something, I hold them to account. If they say, we're going to do this, I'll say, what happened? You told me, oh yeah, but Dad, I had to do it. But you told me that you would do this. Yeah, but I forgot that I, you know, and I got busy. And but you told me this is what you were going to do. And I don't apologize. Now listen, you're not going to get it perfect, right? And I'm still growing in this area, but we need to be striving and aiming to move into greater and greater levels of integrity. And if what's coming out of your mouth is mixed, how can a fountain be polluted and clear at the same time? Person of integrity is a person of their word. Oh, yeah, but Pastor Les, like, if I told the truth, I could be in big trouble. If I told the truth, I could lose my job. If I told the truth, I could end up in jail. And you would rather stay out? You would rather lie? You would rather offend your God than offend these people? That's what you're saying. Now, God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. But it hurts him when his children can't stand up and speak truth. Why was he so proud of Job, where he was showing him off? Have you considered my servant Job? It was because of his integrity. He was honest inside and out. He was a man of his word. Now that's hard to do. When you give your word about something, the scripture says God loves a person who swears to his own hurt. When you give your word to something, you aim to keep it, hey? And if you can't keep it for whatever reason, go and humble yourself. That's what the scriptural way of doing it. And if you start being diligent in that area, you will find you will become a man of your word or a woman of your word. Yeah, but I'm not going to lose my job, hey? Would you really? You would keep your job if it meant telling the truth would lose your job? Where is Jesus in your relationship? Is it a faith of convenience? Well, it's convenient for me to believe right now, but anytime it gets inconvenient, no way. Let's hope he doesn't use that same measure back to you, hey? Years ago, I worked as a bus driver for the Brisbane City Council, and I had this run. It was one of my favourite runs. It was a City Express out to Acacia Ridge. And the reason I enjoyed it is because when you got to Acacia Ridge, at the terminus, you had about half an hour turnaround. And I remember this one particular day, I was really delighted that I had this run because I had not had much sleep the night before. I only had a few hours sleep, and so I was really tired. So I got out to Acacia Ridge. All the passengers were off. I shut the bus down, closed the doors, went to the back of the bus, lay down. I set my alarm to make sure that I wake up after half an hour so I could get off in time, and just fell asleep. I fell into a deep, deep sleep. And the next thing I know, to me it seemed like only a couple of minutes later, I heard this banging on the door. But I was in such a deep sleep. I don't know if you've ever been like this. It's like you wake up but you don't even know where you are or what you're doing. There's banging on the bus door, but I'm looking around, where is this banging coming from? And anyway, instinctively, I kind of got up and I, you know, struggled to make my way to the front of the bus, and there's a bus driver and he's banging on the door, and I'm looking at him, you know, and he's going, open the door. And I'm thinking, where's that coming from? You know, like, and he's going, open the door. And, you know, and I'm still like in a stupor, you know. And anyway, again, it was just instinct. I just kind of reached over and pressed the thing and he opened up and he came up into the bus. He goes, mate, what time are you meant to be gone? And I'm just looking. I was still like asleep, just walking. And I'm looking at him and he goes, what time are you meant to go? And so he grabbed my run print and he had a look. He goes, dude, you were meant to leave half an hour ago. He goes, I'm meant to leave now. Anyway, now I'm starting to wake up. I'm going, oh. And I'm thinking, what? And he goes, look. He goes, no use both of us, you know, going. He said, because I'm due to leave now. He said, just put up blank signs and go halfway in and just start up, you know, put your signs up and get going. And I said, oh, all right, thank you, you know. So anyway, I got the bus started and off I went. I went probably about a little halfway in, put my signs up and started going and started getting passengers. People are coming on board saying like, oh, do you know what happened to the previous bus? And they're getting on. Anyway, I was just way, way behind. I was not making up time. I was getting further and further behind. And I had to give over the bus to another driver. I had to go into Queen Street bus station and give over the bus and go on my meal break. So I thought, man, I'm not making this time up. I'm going to have to call control and just let them know what's going on. And so, you know, like with the buses, with the training, they're told, look, you can have a million reasons why you're late, but you can never be early. There's nothing worse if you've called public transport, then the thing comes before you expected it to and you still walk into the stop or the station or whatever. And so anyway, so I called up control and I said, listen, I'm running late so I'm not going to get there in time to hand over the bus. And they said, all right. Well, they said, look, when you come in, just let the passengers off and go park the bus and just go on your meal break. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. So I finished and I'm driving along. And then they radio me again. And they said, driver, they said, head office has been hearing our broadcast and they heard that you're late. And they rang us and they want to know why you're late. Now here I'm faced with what am I going to say? Because head office is hearing. This is not just the inspector on the radio. This is head office. And I'm thinking like, oh man, you know, like what do I do? I wonder what you would do, hey? What does integrity mean to you? What if it meant you would lose your job if you spoke the truth? I'll come back to that story, hey? But I want to just leave you with that because sometimes we can get confronted with these sorts of issues. Is that right? Sometimes we can be in a situation where to walk in integrity is going to cost us. Have I got you on the edge of your seat? We'll come back to that. Integrity means that what's on the inside shines out on the outside. Hey, you know, Bill Johnson, I read an article just recently that he wrote, and he said, if children grow up seeing one standard in the church and another at home, they tend to rebel against the standards altogether. Conversely, when integrity is genuine both in and out of the public eye, children will grow up willing to pay the price needed to follow in their parents' footsteps. To have integrity in your family. You know, one of the greatest honours that I have is to be a father to Micah and to Joel and to see the way that they grow and seek to emulate the image of Christ in me. It thrills me as I talk with them and they talk to me about how they represent the kingdom of God in their workplace. There is no difference to the way they talk about Jesus with me as to the way they talk about it with the unchurched. Why? Because what's on the inside flows out to the outside. Joel was telling me about how one time at work, you know, and he works, you guys know he works at Reese where there's lots of tradies that come in. And even a lot of his work associates are people who are ex-tradies. And Pete would know that tradies often have quite descriptive language. A whole other vocabulary. But Joel is not backward about being forward. He's not ashamed of the faith that he has. And he was telling me about how, like, you know, in the first week or two that he was there, some of his mates were asking him, you know, how was your weekend? And he was saying, yeah, it was really good, man. I went to church. We had a great time. Some of them got really awkward. He didn't. That's integrity. You know, if you live a life of integrity, your children will seek to be like that as well. They need to see a consistency in your life. Is it just that you'll behave one way in front of others and then you've got a completely different agenda when no one's looking? That's not integrity. And then you can't expect your children to desire to aspire. That's the sure way of getting rebellion in your family. Because they'll look at you and they'll go, hypocrite. person with hidden agendas doesn't have integrity, hey? You know, you've got two choices in life. Hey? You can develop the skills of attention-seeking and manipulation to get your way, or learn how to trust God in every situation. And some have really honed their skills of manipulation, hey? They know how to get what they want from others. Shedding the tears at just the right time. Giving out that sigh of a wounded animal just at the right moment, hey? Slamming the door. Heaping guilt on other people through body language. Sometimes not even without even saying anything. Crouching in a corner. That's not integrity. Just be upfront. If you got a problem, say it. If you don't, keep your mouth shut. And just because you have a problem doesn't mean you should be saying it. Wisdom is being slow to speak and quick to hear. But don't act one way and talk another. That is not integrity, hey? And some people, some believers, sad to say, are so skilled at manipulation to get what they want from someone. See, but if you live like that, you're going to get to a place where no one is ever going to help you because it'll run its course, hey? And people will become, they'll become callous to the way you behave because they'll see through it after a while. You know, you can only be conned so many times, hey? And then eventually it's like, hey, I can see through this. That's exactly what you did the last 3-4 times. I'm not privy to that anymore. Besides that, if you're going to learn to do and how are you going to get, what do you do when you get to a place where no one on earth has an answer for you except for God? You will have no idea what to do because you've never practiced it. You've always practiced manipulation. The choice you have is develop your skills of attention seeking and manipulation or learn how to trust God. Trusting God is tougher. Trusting God can often be slow, but it's the quickest way to get where you want. Without the baggage, you can get to where you want, but it'll add sorrow, hey? It'll add baggage with it. Or you can do it God's way and it'll take a little bit longer, but you'll be blessed and no sorrow that comes with it. Learning how to trust God will bring you out of your comfort zone, hey? But it'll take you immensely further than anything you could ever do in your own strength. There is so much that I can look at my life and I can see this is just supernatural. I am living a lifestyle that I know in my own abilities I could never live. Hey, and there should be that reflecting in your life as well. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6. Are you getting something out of this morning? We're talking about matters of the heart, hey? And one of the matters that's big on God's heart is this issue of integrity. And I want you to look at Daniel chapter 6 because Daniel is an amazing example of a man of integrity, a person of his word, a person who was the same on the outside as what he was on the inside. Daniel 6 verse 1, give me an oi when you're there. So it says, Darius the Mede decided, now Darius was the king, and he said he decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a governor to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the governors and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and governors because Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was a man of integrity. And the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. You know, in Proverbs it says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." When you walk in integrity and you have a spirit of excellence, it will just cause you to rise and rise and rise and rise and rise. Hey. You will find that with the smallest amount of effort compared to others, you will achieve far, far more. The chaplaincy at Runcorn State High School was hugely, hugely successful during the time that I was there. But it was really God. I wasn't that smart to do all of those things. I just did what he wanted me to do. But I know key and fundamental were these issues of the heart, that I walked in integrity, that I had the heart of a servant and many other things, but this issue of integrity. And there was I remember there was one day this chaplain came up to me, good mate of mine. He'd been a chaplain for about 4 years. He goes, guess what? And I said, what? He said, I saw two young people give their hearts to Christ last week. And I said, man, that's awesome. He goes, yep. He goes, my first two at my school. And that like really stunned me, because I was thinking like, man, I see dozens every year. And he'd been a chaplain for like four years plus at that stage. Just trying to say that when you just follow what God wants you to follow and you just do things his way, just like it says in Proverbs, someone who excels in what they do, they will stand before kings. It wasn't just the principal of the school, there were principals of other schools. I got offered full-time positions at numerous schools. I was asked to go fill in at Balmoral State High School and fill in at White Hill just a couple of days a week for 6 months. They already had a chaplain. He had burnt out. He wanted a break. And so they asked if I would just fill in. They wanted experienced chaplain. At the end of the year, both of those principals took me aside and offered me full-time position at their schools if I would come. But I knew I was called to Runcorn. I was just filling in. But see, when you walk in integrity and you seek to excel, it'll cause you to rise to the top, hey? And that's what happened with Daniel. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And this king set Daniel and two others as administrators over 120 governors that were looking after the entire kingdom of Babylon. And yet Daniel excelled so much that the king thought, man, I'm going to put him in charge of everything. He's going to be like vice king if there's a vice king. King Junior. Verse 4, then the other administrators and governors began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Wow, what a testimony. Hey, he did things in such excellence. You know, that's integrity, isn't it? Where you're not cutting corners. I don't know, what do you like at work, hey? Do you just like, do you have this attitude, well, near enough is good enough? If you've got that attitude, that's not integrity, hey? In fact, the Bible actually says, do all things as unto the Lord. Would you do that to Jesus? Yeah, that's kind of all right, you know. Sure, you'll be. No way. You would want to do it to the best of your abilities, hey? And when you work, are you counting down the minutes, like 5 o'clock, clock off time? There's some people, they start packing up 4:45 or 4:50. That's not right. You're being paid till 5. Didn't hear a lot of amens then, did I? You're being paid till 5. In fact, I would encourage you this, and this is the way I live, right? Go beyond what you're asked. Go a little bit more. Sow it. I always give, you know, when I'm tutoring, students, I don't just go just right to the time. A lot of times I'm going over to such an extent where the parents want to pay me more. I say, that's all right. That's good. I can sell it. I believe God for a harvest. Daniel had excelled to such a place where they could not find. They thought, man, this guy's going to take over. He's going to be like junior king, hey? And we can't have that. So what can we find against it? And they couldn't find anything. Everything he did just the way it was meant to be done. Verse 5, so they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and governors went to the king and they said, long live the king Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Kings back then were regarded as like gods. Either they are gods or they're like half god. And so when these administrators and these officials all came and they said, hey, King, you're just it. You're just awesome. We should have 30 days of celebration and just worship you. And we should just put that into law. Darius is kind of thinking like, yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, you know, if anybody's not loyal to me, we're going to find out if we do that. He goes, yeah, okay, so he signed it. Little did he realize his friend and the one who he had come to trust more than anybody else would be someone who's now in a position where they might have to compromise their values to do what he's asked. Verse 10, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. I want you to notice what Daniel does. They've just passed a law saying it is illegal for anyone to pray to anyone else except the king. Soon as Daniel hears about this, he goes home, opens his windows and prays out. Just the way he's always done. The decree was, if you don't do this, you're going to be fed to the lions. He didn't care. That's integrity. Some people, it's just like, if they find out they could be in trouble doing something, that's when they go and hide under the table. Hey, don't tell anybody what I've done, please. What is that? Verse 11, then the officials went together to Daniel's house and they found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king. Dibby dobbers, eh? And they reminded him about his law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied. That decision stands. It's an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captives from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled, and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. The king didn't want to do this. He'd been trapped. He'd been railroaded without realizing it. And now he's given his word that he's going to do something, and yet here's the guy, and he's thinking about this, Daniel, and he's thinking, if there's anyone that I could trust with my life, it's this guy. And they've trapped me. And I know his faith. Why didn't I think of that before? I know his faith is important to him. I know that he wouldn't have listened to that decree. Why did I sign that decree? I'm sure he must have been kicking himself thinking that. Oh, why didn't Daniel come to my mind? Thinking there's got to be a way to get him off the hook, and he couldn't find any way. Verse 15. In the evening, the men went together to the king and they said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. And then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and he couldn't sleep at all that night. Man, that must have been tough, eh? He's not related to Daniel. Daniel's not even a Babylonian. But obviously, Daniel had carried himself with such integrity And with such faithfulness, the king had grown to lean on him, trust him, and grown to love him. And now he's thinking, I've just signed this guy's death warrant. I wish I didn't have to do that, but I can't find a way. And that night, he just couldn't get any sleep. Didn't want to eat. He's thinking, oh, if there's some way. Verse 19. Very early in the morning, the king got up and he hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions? Oh, I love this. Daniel answered, long live the king. Can you imagine what a wonderful sound that must have been to the king? The king was in such anguish, thinking like, did I just kill one of my closest friends, one of my closest servants? And he hears from the den this voice saying, long live the king! Verse 22, my God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Wow. Does it pay to walk in integrity? I think Daniel would say, yes, it does. But I want you to see what else happens, hey? Then the king gave orders to arrest the men who had maliciously accused Daniel. He had them thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and their children. Don't tell me the hundredfold return doesn't work. Those lions sowed Daniel, they got 100-fold back. The lions leapt on them and tore them apart before they even hit the floor of the den. Then King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. How awesome is that? Not only was Daniel saved from the lions, but the king became a believer. And the king began to write to everybody in his kingdom saying, you got to believe in this God too. He's the real deal. He's the real. Do you realize when you walk in integrity, you shine with the light of Christ? And when you're prepared to do the hard yards, and there will be times when your integrity will be put to the test, and it will cost you something. It could cost you your reputation. It could cost you your job. It could cost you your life. How many believers have been killed for their faith, executed? I remember being told about one particular family that the mother had just had a baby, and they were a Christian family. And they'd been seized by the Romans and they'd been appointed to be fed to the lions. They and numerous other Christians, eh? And through a series of circumstances, she got some of her friends to forcibly detain her husband, and she took her baby and she went with her baby into the arena and she sang hymns unto God as the lions killed her and her child. She wanted to save her husband. And she saw it as a great privilege and honor to serve God. She refused to back down or to revoke her faith. Darius became a believer because one man was willing to stand up and allow what was on the inside to be the same as what was on the outside. Let me get back to my story of the buses. So I had the radio. They'd radioed. They said, head office has heard that you're late. They want to know why you're late. And when they said that, I could feel like there were a number of passengers sitting near where I was, and they were listening. And they were kind of like thinking, yeah, well, why are you late? They didn't say anything, but I could kind of feel that. And I felt in my heart, this was my first thought that came to my mind, is if I tell them over the radio why I'm late and these customers hear it, I'm bringing the council into disrepute. I've done the wrong thing, but I'm going to bring the council into disrepute, you know, because I'm typical driver, sleeps on the job and all that sort of stuff. And so because of that, I didn't want to bring the council into disrepute. So I just radioed back and I said, look, it's a little bit embarrassing. When I come in, can I explain? And they said, yeah, all right. You know, so anyway, I put the radio down. And now my mind was going 1,000 kilometers an hour, thinking, what am I going to say? I knew what I needed to say. You know, the devil loves to kick in those circumstances. Hey, dude, you can't tell him the truth. You can't tell him the truth. Just make something up. Just tell him it was a traffic jam. Just tell him something. You know, think of something. And I'm thinking, no, I need to speak the truth. And I'm battling. It was a real battle, because I knew that in me telling them why I was late, if it was head office, I knew that I was going to get fired. I knew this was my job. And I came to the place and I said, I'm going to tell them. There's nothing else that I can do. There's nothing else I want to do. I'm going to tell them. And then I prayed and I said, God, I said, I deserve to be sacked because I fell asleep. And I said, I know that I've done the wrong thing, but if somehow you could change this around, I would really appreciate it. But if you can't, if I have to get sacked, then I have to get sacked. And I said, but I'm just asking you, if there's something you can do, I would really appreciate it. But I'd made the resolution in my heart, that's what I'm going to do. Probably about 30 seconds after I'd prayed that prayer, the radio went off. They said, driver, you're there still? And I said, yep. They said, look, we just had a call from head office. They said, don't worry about it. Just go to your lunch break and just get on with the rest of your day. I was thinking, what? Now, this is my opinion. I'm going to give you what I think happened, all right? I don't have any proof of it, but just as I've replayed it, and I could be completely wrong, but I tend to think this is probably what happened in the natural from their standpoint. They heard me get on and say, this is really embarrassing. And I was saying that because I didn't want to embarrass the council. I didn't care about myself. But when they heard that, they thought, well, what would be embarrassing? Oh, he's probably got like diarrhea or something like that, or vomiting. And oh, we don't need to hear all the details. So they rang up control and they said, look, just tell him to go on his lunch. You know, we don't want to hear why he's embarrassed to tell us. And that's what I think happened. Maybe it didn't, I don't know, but that's what but you know, I look back on that and I know that was an integrity test that God had set up. Hey, I did the wrong thing. But you know, God will sometimes, he will take you through some places to see what's in your heart, not for you to fail, but he wants to promote you. And how can you be promoted if you don't pass the test? God will allow you. He tested Abraham's heart, didn't he? He wasn't trying to make him fail. He had already determined, I'm going to bless you more than you could ever imagine, boy. But he wants to bring out what's already in you. And these matters of the heart, this issue of integrity, is something that's big on God, big in his heart, and it needs to be something that's big in our heart. Do I hear an amen? What's the results? And I'm going to wrap up here, hey. What's the results of living a life of integrity? Well, the scripture that we started with says, he who walks in integrity walks securely, or walks safely. When you walk in integrity, God's got your back. He's going to look after you. It may mean that maybe you've lost your job, or maybe there was a relationship that broke up as a result of you walking in integrity, but you will walk securely. God will look after you, and you will at some point stand and look back and go, I am so thankful. I am so thankful, God, I didn't know how all that was going to play out, but I am so thankful that you led me. Hey, he who walks with integrity will walk safely. You'll see God, hey. A person of integrity will see God. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Integrity is all about purity of heart. That's one of the reasons I believe that Joy had so many visions. She had multiple visions of Jesus, hey. And I'm convinced one of the reasons is because she is such a person of integrity. What's on the outside is the same as what's on the inside. You never had to second guess with Joy. Those of you who knew her would know exactly what I'm talking about. You never had to second guess. She would tell you exactly what's on her mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.